All right. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs tonight. I'm going to try this little flimsy thing down here. We're good for singing, but it's a little narrow for Proverbs 22. We began this one last week, and we're going to look at another part of it this week. You know, kind of just get a little bit of review. And then Proverbs 22, verse 10. All right, the Bible says, cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Okay, so we talked about, number one, the scorner. Talked about the scorner. So, A, what is a scorner? Okay, you have that all there. I believe it's all, left you the words that you filled in last week, so you didn't have to fill them in again. So what's a scorner? The term is primarily defined as one that mocks or talks arrogantly towards others. We have Proverbs 13:1 says, a scorner does not have a teachable spirit. Good guess. Oh, no, it's there. Doesn't have a teachable spirit. Proverbs 14:6 says he's not willing to receive wisdom. And then in chapter 21, verse 24, pride and arrogancy is his name. And then 24:9, the foolishness of sin is his game. And so this is kind of this is what the scorner is. And so again, B, what are we to do with the scorner? It says there in verse 10, cast out the scorner. Okay, we looked at that last week. And what story did we talk about with casting out the scorner? Abram, yeah, and who was cast out? Ishmael, that's right, he was cast out. Well, first Hagar was cast out, remember? First she was cast out, but then she did what? Well, she returned, but with what kind of spirit? A better spirit. Submissive, yeah, submission. Remember, it said submit to Sarai, and so she came back and submitted. But then later on, it was Ishmael, and the Bible tells us that Ishmael mocked, all right, Isaac. And so we find then they were cast out. And so this is what you're like, man, that's kind of harsh. And we've seen it other times when there was specific sin in the nation, they were to do what with them? Stone them. Not specific sins, not all sin. That was specifically the sin of, we talked about this, to get stoned for the sin of what? Idolatry. It was this. Of course, there's some other things too, but particularly last week we talked about the sin of idolatry, and so they were to take him out and stone him. And I said, aren't you glad that we don't do that anymore? Amen. And so, so number two. So, really, is this clearly this proverb here is an Old Testament thing of the law and casting them out. And but so number two. What about in the New Testament? Okay, what about in the New Testament? So NT, that's why I gave you a little blank. I think there was just a small blank there. So yeah, what about in the New Testament? A, do we find this example for the church today? Okay, that's our question. Do we find this example of this casting out the scorner? Do we find this in the church today? So number one, the Apostle Paul dealt with this truth with the church at Corinth. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. Okay, we're going to be in the New Testament tonight. 1 Corinthians in chapter 5. And we're going to find Paul begins to deal with this here. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. The Bible says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Number two, verse two. And ye are, what's that? Puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. Okay, so A, the problem that Paul is dealing with is not only the sin, Okay, obviously he's talking about the sin. What did he say about that sin? Even the world doesn't do this, what you're doing. He said, even they know that. He said, but he's not just dealing with the sin, but the failure, is the blank there, the failure of the church to deal with sin. This is what he said. He says there, you're puffed up about it and have not mourned. They had become puffed up, too proud to humble themselves and follow the Lord's will. Now, I want us to see something here, and then we're going to read those verses. But he said, you're too puffed up, and you're not rather mourned. So you're proud instead of being mourning over this. And sad, and sad isn't the right word. Mourning is what we do when somebody has done something so utterly vile that we know it's going to bring the reproach of God upon them. And so because the reproach of God's coming upon them, it's not like mourning their death, but it's like mourning the consequence. He said, so instead of mourning the consequence that was coming, you were puffed up, said, we have adulterers in here, fornicators. We have this. Yeah, it's no big deal. Yeah, we do things different. We're a modern church. Now, I don't know if that's what was going on, but some things were going on, and so they were missing. He said, so if you wouldn't have been proud, and if you wouldn't have mourned, instead, he says, that, what's the purpose, the problem with those things, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. He said, listen, if you would have had the right spirit, you'd have done the right thing. Now look at verse 3. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath done so, this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 5, it says this, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus. That sounds pretty nice. Right? I mean, again, he said, deliver that one. Deliver this particular member of your church to Satan. I mean, sometimes we read that. Now, that's Bible stuff, you know. And we say we follow Bible stuff. I mean, I'm lightening it a little bit. I'm just trying to make y'all with me tonight. It's a long day. Sometimes we get this idea. We'll get some stuff. Yeah, man, they were hardcore in Bible times. But this is written for us the same as what they experienced. And so what we find here is what Paul was saying. He said, you should have... You're proud. You should have said, man, we got a problem. Let's mourn this. Let's take this person away from among us. And really, he says this. You should. He said, here's what you're going to do. During this time, the apostle was still the apostle. All right, there was still a transition time, so the apostle still had that kind of authority. He said, here's what it's going to do in verse 4. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, he doesn't say his authority. He says the authority is the Lord's. He said, but I'm going to be there like I'm in there with you in spirit. He said, to deliver them unto Satan. Wow. So why, number 2, why would we cast someone out today? Okay, I'm talking about 2025. Why would we cast them out today? Because they're a Democrat. Right? No, I'm kidding. Brother Bob's like, that's right. No, I'm kidding. Full on kidding. But sometimes we're more passionate about politics than we are sin. Right? Maybe we cast them out because of the clothes that they wear. Right? Or, you know, maybe something, you know, about what they've done in their, you know, instead of sin, some other things that's going on, we want to worry about the outside stuff. Well, you know, they just don't agree with the pastor, so we got to get rid of them. Amen. No, not even. I'm kidding. We got to see something. So why would we why would we cast someone out today? What's the purpose of it is really what I'm getting at, though, is what's the purpose of that? Well, it's the same thing as it was in Corinth, in the church at Corinth. A, that the flesh may be destroyed and the spirit saved. Okay, I'm not saying we kill them. Amen? Who does the destruction to the flesh? We just read that. Who does it? Satan. So it's what he says there, verse 5. He said, deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Can Satan destroy the flesh? I don't know. Aren't you afraid to answer? Because you're like, I'm going to say the wrong one. I'm going to look stupid. I'm not going to try to make you. That's not the goal. Sometimes I'm asking you, and you're like, do you want me to answer that? Okay. Let's ask this question. Have we ever seen Satan have the power to afflict the flesh? We have seen that. So if we have seen that, that means it's possible. Amen? We see that in a fellow by the name of Job. So we know, why did God give us the story of Job? So we can answer the question I just asked. We know Satan can do that. But we also know that God has to allow it. Right? God has to allow that. So Satan doesn't touch us lest God allows him. But here, when somebody sinned, and here's what he's saying. The apostle is saying to the church, you know, give them over to Satan. Give them over. They want to follow that life. Let them have it. Don't let them... look here. I've got this written. It's not on your notes. But to allow an individual to continue as a church member in good standing does not help them. You hear what I'm saying? So someone that's living in sin, and we just let them continue on in church membership as a good standing church member, we've not helped them at all. We've done a disservice to them, a great disservice. So B, we are not being generous or kind to an individual when we will not cast out the scorner. Look at verse 6 now. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Huh. So, this is tough because doesn't it feel mean? Even talking about it, you know, some of y'all folks are like, man, what is this pastor? Where is he going? You know, I would think that too. Myself, I'm like, what are we? I'm just trying to preach the book, right? And we find this stuff in the Word of God, and we have to learn how to deal with it. Do we want to throw people out of church? No, we don't want to do that. We do not. Obviously, that's not what we want to do. By the way, if we want to do that, we got a problem with our spirit. But there's a time when, and you know who's going to do that? You know who this is going to be hard with? Folks that you really love. Family, friends, maybe you've been to church a long time with them. I mean, y'all do things together. Y'all go fishing, right? Y'all get your nail, I don't know, whatever you do. You do stuff together, you know, and you hang out, and you talk, and you sit in the same pew together. You're going to be like, man. And then they're getting this thing. You're like, let's just give them a pass. In Matthew, the Lord has given us some instruction on how to deal with really conflict between the brethren, but it really gets into this thing of sin. And it's really, the process is the process to restore them. And it says, listen, if there's one offended, you go to that one and say, hey, you've offended me, this thing's happened, whatever it is. And you say, I don't care, you jerk. I meant it on purpose. I'm like, okay, well, whatever then, I don't care. No, because now something's still, now I'm going to get two or three, right? One or two other people, two or three of us are going to come and say, hey, you know, and I'm going to tell them the situation just enough to deal with this. We're going to go and say, hey, this happened. And one of them's probably, they're going to probably do a little bit more of the talking. We're going to be together and they're going to say, hey, listen, this is sin. Maybe it's not sin, but maybe it's not really, that's not the spirit of Christ. And they're going to say, really, this is the spirit of Christ. And that person says, I don't care. I'm not forgiven. I'm not, you know, I meant when I, you know, that's it. Man, they got a sour spirit. You know what you want to do with that one? Just let them sit there and be sour. They won't bother anybody. That ain't happening. I mean, sour people, their acidity goes off on other people, doesn't it? Don't you just, some people just have a look of like they're waiting for somebody to bark at. You know what I mean? And so what do? Well, just leave them alone. I mean, can I tell you what, as a pastor, a lot of times I'd rather leave them alone. Who wants to poke the bear? Not this guy. I don't want to poke the bear. I don't like doing that. I hate it. I'll tell you a story about a fella in our church. First church I'm pastoring. I don't want to deal with stuff. And the guy had lied. He had stolen and he lied about it. And I didn't want to deal with that. Oh, Lord, can I just... And I found out on a Saturday. I can't go into the pulpit on Sunday just... And I went Saturday, I talked to him, I said, listen, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. What you did, it's not a big deal. You've sinned, but just repent, give God the glory, and just forgive, and we'll move on from this thing. And this fellow looked at me for a minute, and I could see the wheels turning. I'm like, yes, this is going to be a wonderful story of redemption, right? And he said, no, I didn't do it. I mean, there's some sins that are hearsay. Some sins, I actually saw the merchandise in his house when I went there to pick him up to go on visitation with me. And I said, man, I didn't. So I left. His wife that wasn't saved, her pastor said, I stole. And she goes off on me and all this. And I thought, man, I didn't care about stuff. I'd have rather not done anything, but God wouldn't. I couldn't have peace that we got. You know, he didn't get to the next step. I tried to go. He wouldn't meet again. Most people don't go through the steps, because the third step is, if they won't hear it to two or three, then we go before the church and say, hey, here's what happened. Give the person an opportunity. But the purpose is always to restore them. But it's with this here, though, in what we talked about in Numbers, in verse 6, know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? It's really this, number 3. It is a destruction to the church and the work of God. If we just leave it alone and don't cast out the scorner, right? We bring corruption and destruction to the church of God. God's purpose is to clean up his bride, right? To keep it clean. Not because we're perfect, right? But because it's how we're going to be effective for him. I'm telling you, folks, we live in a day and age today, and probably my whole life, and probably long before that, I don't know. But very few people will face the music. I'm just saying here, anybody's on camera, anybody's here, of all the people that have left this church, only one has come back to even stand face to face and speak to me about it and say, hey, here's the situation. I said, no, I understand. The rest, most people don't want to deal with it. But imagine in a day when there was one church, and if there was a church in that day, it would have been written to the church at Titusville. One church here. If you don't go to church here, you don't go to church anyway. Folks didn't just get ran out of church. This is it. That was your life. That was community. That was everything. You're part of that. So you'd come and you'd get right. Today we've set up another church about every third of a block around here. Right? And if you find out, well, I don't really like Baptists, I want to go somewhere. I had a guy, led him to the Lord, discipled him. I went soul winning with him. We, preached his dad's funeral. And one day, after I left, and another pastor had come by, he had left the church. I went, I said, what's going on? I said, what's going on, brother? He said, I don't know if I ever really agreed with the Baptists. What? Yeah, of course, good thing on that story, some years later, he repented and got right with that pastor. So sometimes you have to do these things. And this is what, under number 3, to wink at sin is not a kindness at all. And so let's not glory in turning a blind eye to sin. You know, so many people have this thing, hey, sinners are welcome here. There's some church, I looked at someone and said, no perfect people accepted here. I know what they're getting at, and I can appreciate that. You know, we all come as sinners, but let's Let's give God a little more credit than that. I think that's the thing. So look here, verse 9. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. He said not to company with them is what he says. Verse 10. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must ye needs go out of the world. Listen, mind you, okay, this is not just for adulterers, but even for the covetous, he goes on to say, who were kind of take some distance from. And then in verse 11, but now I have written unto you not to keep company. Watch what it's going to say here. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such on one, no, not to eat. Okay. So here's what we have. He says, I've told you before, right? Not to, what's the word he uses there? Not to company with these people of the world, okay, that are in this kind of sin. He said, but I'm telling you now, one that's called a brother, you're not even so much to eat with them, okay? The scripture now adds the railer is what we found there in that, which is one that is abusive with harsh criticism and insults. It's likened to this thing of a mocker. Okay, D. We are not to even what? Eat with them. Does that sound harsh? We're not even to eat with them. It's kind of specific, isn't it? You're not to eat with them. Why do you think that would be? Anybody have an idea? Why do you think we're not to eat with them? Because they have an influence, okay? They'd influence us by... Well, yeah, I think that's what I say. Meaning, here's what it says. Meaning we are not to fellowship nor give them the opportunity to get in our ear. You know, we're not to sit down, because you've got to understand during this time, and still I'd say today, but throughout history, eating is sit down. It's a time of really kind of, I want to say, some intimate or some casual kind of a relationship. You sit down with people. I had a fellow at one time, he used to say, he said, I said, hey, can I, you want to go out to eat? He said, no, I'm particular who I eat with. I think he was kidding. But, anyway, so look at verse 12. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without, God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Here's what he's saying. Here's E. Here's the thing. Our responsibility is to those of the house of faith. We are not to judge the world on these things. God will handle that. You know what we like to do? Here's what we do. In Baptists, we're kind of famous for this. We like to spend our time looking at how bad everyone else is outside of the church. Why us inside of here, we're like, yeah, we'll just have whatever's going on in here, but we'll just kind of hush us because we don't want to get bad press. Or we don't want to get this, that, and so we kind of can do some of this. I'm not saying here at this church. I'm just saying Christianity as a whole does that. And so we get so worried about those terrible sinners out there, right? Here's what Paul's saying. Listen, leave that to God. God's going to judge them, right? We're not to go tell. This is, I'll be quite honest with you right here. This is one of the things I don't like about street preaching. Get out there street preaching. We're going to send out the street preacher. I can remember the street preacher came to our town. We had a big thing going on in our city. He came and I went, I'd never met the guy. I went down there. He was obviously smoking and drinking. I'm thinking these people all came for a party. And you're all telling. And I thought, man, what about the hope of the gospel? Taking them the good news, but instead we're telling them how bad they are. Probably most of them already know how bad they are, or they're already rejected that thought anyway. So here's what Paul's saying right here, though. Listen, leave that judgment is going to be to God. But for us, it's about those. We have a responsible F. But we are to put away from among us the wicked that is called a brother. Okay? So B, this is it's a New Testament truth. Right? You say, this casting out the scorner, is that Old Testament only? No, we find this is a New Testament truth. Notice what Jesus said in Matthew 18. What he says here in Matthew 18. I already alluded to it before, but verse 17. He said, "And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican." If you got a red letter, that's what Jesus spoke himself to his disciples. He said, listen, if they will not hear him, they're to be as a heathen and a publican. It's a New Testament truth. Number one under that, God's plan was to be cautious not to allow bitterness to defile the church. To defile the church. Let's go over here to Hebrews. I want us to see real well that this is a New Testament. It's a New Testament teaching. Not just a principle, but what we've seen over there in 1 Corinthians, that wasn't a principle. That was a very direct, clear teaching of this is what to do. So Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" Okay, drop down to verse 15. "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Okay? So, casting out the scorner is good. So what we just see here, what I wanted to see here is what I just, the prior point there, is that God wants to avoid bitterness that sets in and defiles the whole church. You ever seen a church completely implode? I've seen it. I was reading about a church recently that just completely imploded, and in bitterness and disagreement and split and part, and it just dissolved. And God is not in the work of seeing churches dissolve unless they have already got this bitterness that they didn't deal with. Okay? So, let's look over here in 2 Thessalonians now. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 3, verse 14. He says it this way, "And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be," what? "Ashamed." Verse 15. "Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." Listen, it can seem very grievous, but the Lord said, remember we talked about that last week, the Lord said to Abram, don't let it be grievous, because it's for their good. It's for their good. Feels intense. Folks, what I'm preaching about these last 2 weeks, I don't like this stuff. I don't like confrontation. I hate confrontation. I hate confrontation. I hate sin. I hate dealing with sin. I hate talking to somebody about where they failed, because I fail too. You know, I hate dealing with this stuff. I wish that stuff wasn't in the Bible and God just said, I'll deal with it all. You just keep being you. Amen. Wouldn't that be better? I'd love it that way. I just get to hang out and preach and just let things fall where they may. But, and God will take care of them. But he says, no, this is, becomes our responsibility. And he says this in verse 14, what he's saying, if any man obey not our word by this epistle. What he's talking about, anybody that doesn't follow the word of God, and we're not talking about, sometimes we kind of like to split hairs and disagree over things. Well, I think it should be this way, and I think it should be this way. You know, I think we should have screens, or I don't think we should have screens, right? I think we should have piano, or I don't think we should have any music. People, sometimes, the Bible doesn't give us, thou shalt use piano. Of course, we do see stringed instruments, but he doesn't say, thou shalt always use stringed instruments. So, but people, I know churches, they would not, they would split a church in half if they brought a piano in, right? There's other churches that would split a church in half if they brought a drum set in. Right? There'd be churches without a pastor if they brought a drum set, which would be me. But that's not, I can't tell you a verse in Scripture where thou shalt not bang on drums in the church. I just don't like it. So, you see what I'm saying? So there's this kind of preference thing. And so we can kind of, but here he's talking about something very particular. If you want, those that aren't following this epistle, they're rejecting the word of God, is what he said. Note that one. And then deal with them in that way. Yeah, it can seem grievous, but it's for their good. And for the good of the cause of Christ. Okay. I always take too long. That's what I do. Number three, the result of casting out. Okay, we're back in Proverbs. The result of casting out. Proverbs 22:10 again. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out, yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Okay, hey, I'm going to go through these a little quicker because, yeah, we're no more scripture. We're going to be here, and so we're going to get to this. When they are cast out, three things will happen. Number one, contention shall go away. Amen? Don't you like contention to go away? That's what I want. So, which means, A, brawling and fighting. That's what we're talking about, contention. That's what the word means, contentious. Is that brawling and fighting. B, what a shame it is that we must contend among the brethren when we should be contending with the lost. I hate the fact that churches would get so focused on fussing with each other instead of taking the gospel out. I'm telling you, folks, there's been periods already since I've been in this church, and not even a year and a half, that we've had to say, well, we're not ready to go out and reach the lost. Bring them in to chaos. You're like, well, that's a little extreme. I wanted to wait until the right times, and then we bring somebody in when they're ready to come, and when we're ready. Amen? And I believe God blessed that, and so I'm just saying. And so what a shame, though, that we would have to say, we're going to have to pause contending with the lost so that we can contend with the brethren that are split and divisive and contentious, right? So he said, listen, when we cast out the scorner, that's going to stop. By the way, today I think casting out the scorner probably mostly is just bringing it up to them, confronting them with it. Hey, you got the sin in your life. Well, I'm out of here. If I can't, they won't say, but if I can't, you know what usually happens? Here's what happens if the pastor came. By the way, it doesn't need to be the pastor. Wouldn't that be awesome if other people went ahead and did that? Hey, brother, you know, that's sin. Somebody tells a joke or somebody does a thing. So, you know, does the pastor have to be daddy? No, we don't want that. So, well, you do. But anyway, what I'm saying is this is our role together and to do this thing. And when it gets dealt with, most people will say, here's usually what happens. Well, you know, this church is just wrong. Pastor's wrong. But the scorner left either way. Number two, strife will cease. It is the word that means judgment. Is that word strife? Sorry, it wasn't worded well. But what it means is judgment. That word strife is be the scorner is the one that brings unrighteous judgment, usually about things that distract from the ministry. See, this is what the scorner does. They bring this kind of judgment and critique, and we're constantly dealing with all these issues because it's just easier to deal with that instead of, he said, when you get rid of the scorner, that strife will cease. And then number three, reproach will cease. This is the name calling, the disgracing and railing is what that word reproach means. B, the scorner reproaches the work and people of the church. Folks, I want to just say this here. I wish we had everyone here tonight to hear this, because what I want to say is we ought never go home and have roast preacher. Right? Go home and say, man, that preacher, this and that. If you disagree, come and talk to the pastor. Right? You say, well, I don't agree with what you said there. Well, let's look at it. And maybe if, you know, I got something wrong, or maybe you're wrong. Right? But also we ought not go home and roast the Sunday school teacher, the nursery worker, the sound guy, especially the sound guy. They're always getting grief, right? We ought not do that, you know. And if there's a real issue, let's talk about it. But don't go home, because here's what's going to happen: they're going to say something stupid one day, or off, or crooked, and you tell your people, your neighbors, yeah, it's good, but your choir is terrible, you know, or something. And then you're going to come by, hey, you got to come hear our choir. And like, no, why would I want to hear them? You said they're terrible. Well, I was just, you know, I was mad. No, we wouldn't say that. Well, they got better, right? That was 2 weeks ago. You're going to want them to follow those people. B, imagine what it would be like in a church that lacks contention, strife, and reproach. Wouldn't that be sweet? It just doesn't exist. Number one, it would be a church that is focused on reaching the world with the gospel. This is what happens. This is what happens, folks. There's two things we're going to focus our attention on. Ourselves are reaching the lost. We can't do both. We can't do both. We can't focus on fixing all of our problems and reaching the world. Can't do both. Because what will happen is if we don't fix our problems, we're going to bring people in, and they're going to come into a mess, and they're going to leave and take people with them. I've seen it over and over. So, one, a church that just says, we're going to cast out the scorner. You know, maybe casting out the scorner is saying, you know what, maybe we just cast out the scorn. Repent of the scorn. Wouldn't that be great? And so, look here. Number two, last thing. Casting out is hard. It is challenging and difficult, but it should not be grievous. Meaning we shouldn't hate to do what God wants us to do. Now, folks, right after the service, I want to talk to each one of y'all back in the office about your sin. No, that's... Folks, that's not what this is. And don't sit here and think, man, Pastor, he's got some... I've got no axe to grind. I don't do that. That's not how I operate, but I'm going to go through the scriptures, and we see something, and we want to... This is the title of this series is what? Passing on wisdom. We receive this wisdom so we can pass it on to someone else. And so we get this, we get it, we become then the wisdom bearers. Like, man, does he think I got sin in my mouth? No, I don't. Maybe. I don't know. I don't necessarily. But what happens is now I'm the wisdom bearer. And when somebody comes up and say, listen, you really, that scorning, it's going to hurt our church. And we become the bearers. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this truth. And Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, help us to not seek around our church for scorners, not try to find people that we might accuse, but Lord, that we would be willing to follow your direction and seek you and attempt to bring those folks that have soured, attempt to bring them to a place that they may not bring destruction to themselves, to their soul, or to our church and to your church. Lord, we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name.